Can I just extend another warm welcome to everybody this morning? And I guess in some ways, really, the theme of the worship and some of the words that have come are set a good scene, I think, for what I feel the Lord has put on my heart to share with us this morning. I'm preaching this today, and then I'm preaching again in 2 weeks, so I'm actually going to be extending what I'm talking about over the next two sessions where I'm going to be preaching. And the title of what I'm going to be talking about is Love, the Greatest Gift. Love, the Greatest Gift. And I'm going to attempt this morning to look at some scriptures and look at some passages of scriptures that just helps us to think about love in terms of just getting an understanding of what God's word says about it and reminding ourselves of some fundamental and basic truths about what it means to walk, W-O-R-K, in love, as well as W-A-L-K, walking in love. So we walk in love and we walk in love. So we'll look at some scriptures that kind of help us to think about that. And then I'm hoping by the time we come to, so we'll look at that and we look at that definition from the scriptures. And then hopefully when I do the second part next week, we might look at some practical steps or things that I have found helpful or things that I have heard other people talk about that has helped them to make this worthwhile. When the Lord was putting this upon my heart to share, as with a subject like this, it's very wide, it's very, very deep, and you know, you could come at it from different points of view. But I felt it was specifically putting one or two focuses upon my heart. And the first thing that struck me is when you're doing something like this, you see your own inadequacy, and you see sometimes just how far short you are falling of the standard that God has set before you. But that in itself is not an excuse not to bring that which God is saying or that which you feel God is putting upon your heart. I think the challenge for you as the bringer of the word is to see how that affects you personally and to make sure that you begin to absorb that into your own life and begin to make the necessary corrections and strive to be able to press into that. And so we're going to start by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll read the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then we move on to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we'll start from verse 1. So if I can have chapter 12, the last verse, and then we'll go on to 13:1, if that's okay. Yeah. It says, "Now eagerly desire the greater gifts." Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the more excellent way. Next. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others, and it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will cease. They will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. And we thank you because when the truth of your word comes in an atmosphere of love, it brings healing, it brings wholeness, it brings restoration, Lord. So, Lord, this morning we just come before you as we look to the beauty of Jesus, as we look to that loving Savior on the cross, as we look to your voice that cries mercy over us, not judgment, Lord. As we come to him who first loved us and commanded us to love him in return. Lord, we just submit ourselves to you. We submit ourselves to your truth. We submit ourselves to your lordship and to your authority. With hands raised high, with hearts abandoned, in awe of you, the one who gave it all. Lord, that is the response of our heart this morning. That you will open our eyes. Help us to see afresh your love for us. Help us to see afresh what you did on Calvary for us. Help us to see how great death you have settled on our behalf. And help us to pursue you and to walk in that same path, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul challenged the Christians to seek earnestly the gift. And if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it took time to explain about the different gifts within the body of Christ. And I'm not going to go into that now because of time. These gifts are important. They're very, very important in the life of the church and in our lives as individuals. And we've seen some of those gifts expressed this morning. You know, what a prophecy can be so encouraging. It just not just talk about the gifts. It talks about the different gifts and the callings that God was calling his people to. And all of these things is underpinned by one truth. It is the Spirit that freely gives this gift to his people. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit. But when we think about the Holy Spirit and when we think about the work of the Spirit within us and within our body, Paul's reminding us that the Spirit does not just release gifts to his people. As well as the gifts of the Spirit comes the fruit of the Spirit. They are all anchored in the same Spirit. It's the manifestation of the same Spirit. It's the outworking of the same Spirit within Christ's body and his people. And he says, this is great, but I want to show you an excellent way. I want to show you something that actually underpins all of those things, that makes it relevant, and that makes it even more excellent than they standing by themselves. And then it led us into that passage. And when I'm going to be talking about love, because like I said, it's such a wide ground and it covers everything. And I'm not claiming in any way at all to have a theological masterpiece to be able to deal with this subject. And I'm not coming at it in that way. I'm coming at it very much as a simple thing, just looking at the truth of God's words in my own understanding. When I think about love, and when I'm trying to explore that subject of love, I'm defining it based on 1 Corinthians 13. If you're trying to think, when you say love, what exactly do you mean by that? I'm saying, I mean what 1 Corinthians has said about love. Because those first verses tells us a lot of stuff we can do. And it says it's possible to do all of these things without love. And then the next half of it says, this is what love looks like. When you're talking about love, if you're trying to think, do I know what love looks like? Do I know what that would be? How will I be able to look at my own life and reflect whether there is any evidence of the fruits of love in my life? It says, when you see something like patience, when you see kindness, when you see generosity, when you see courtesy, unselfishness, good temper and good disposition, righteousness, love in conduct, and when you see sincerity, these are the evidences, these are the manifestations, these are the characteristics of divine love that I'm talking about. And it's within that context. So I just want to lay that foundation before we move in and begin to talk about some of the things I feel that the Lord really wants me to focus on this morning. So I hope that makes sense. That when I'm talking about love, because like I said, it's such a wide and it can cover all sorts of places, but I'm talking merely very much from that limited perspective in order to keep this focus. Convert earnestly the best gifts. We seek the gifts of the Spirit. We seek the manifestation of the Spirit as we come together as His body. We're charismatics. That's what we love to do. That's what gives us that great excitement and joy. But do we realize, do we recognize that we lost sight that the same Spirit at work within us, the same Spirit releasing those giftings is the same Spirit that is producing the fruits of the Spirit that is enabling us to grow, to increase, and to manifest in an increasing measure the fruits and the characteristics of this divine love that God talks about. And Paul says, in your seeking, in your desire, in your yearning, don't let it stop at the gates. Don't let it stop at the gates. Don't let it stop at the gates. Extend that same seeking. Extend that same yearning. Extend that same desire. That same belief that you can grow and you can increase in the giftings of the Spirit. Express the same longing for the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Because at the root of all of that is the same outworking of the Spirit. Do not limit the working of the Holy Spirit in His church to just the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. Because the Spirit in His fullness is not just manifesting the gift, is equally outworking in each one of us the fruit of the Spirit, reflecting all of those things I've just shown. We're growing, we're increasing, and we're demonstrating that in an increasing measure. And one of the questions I found the Lord asking me as I began to prepare for this is, if I asked Tayo, and I said, you've been married to Tayo now 19 years, and you've probably known him 10 years before then, so that's about 29 years. It's a long time to know somebody. If you look at Tayo today, and the Tayo you knew last year, the year before, or 15 years ago, his capacity to love, and his capacity and fruitfulness in love as that increased year on year. Is there a stagnancy? Is there a retrogression? Is there a regression? Or is there an increase? And that's a question I think we all need to ask ourselves. Where I was 10 years ago in my capacity to love and to demonstrate the love of God, where am I today? Is that capacity increasing or is that capacity decreasing? Galatians 5 verse 22 reminds us again about the fruit of the Spirit. And just before we came into that, it talks about the fruit of the flesh and how that will manifest. And it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, it's peace, it's forbearance, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness, it's self-control. Against such things, there is no law. When the fruit of the Spirit is working itself in our lives, it says against that, there is no law. That enables us to be able to not just fulfill the law of man, but to fulfill the law of Christ. And it's important to recognize that the spirit within us, that same spirit by which we became saved, that same spirit by which we can cry, Abba, Father, that same spirit by which we manifest and see the expression of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the same spirit that brings the fruit to manifest in our lives. And as we grow and press and increase, let us not limit the manifestation to just his giftings. As much as he desires to give us his gifts, he desires to cultivate and to grow and to increase the fruits of his spirit in our lives in an increasing measure. And as we get filled with the Spirit, as we get soaked in the Spirit, as we welcome the move of the Spirit as a church and as a movement, as we welcome this new wave of the Spirit that is coming upon us, let us realize that it brings with it the fullness of all that Christ has promised us. And it's an opportunity to step beyond ourselves. It's an opportunity to move beyond our own individual capacity. It's an opportunity to move outside a legalistic brand, but to come into the flow of the Spirit and let the Spirit work in us and work with him to bring forth all the fullness of what God has in store for us. Galatians says we should live in the Spirit, in the experience and the manifestation of the work of the Spirit amongst believers. But we should also walk in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit. So the outworking of the Holy Spirit in us impacts the way we walk, impacts the way we live on a day-by-day basis, impacts on the way we interact with one another. The outworking of that same spirit is still evidence in all of our day-to-day. She was sharing and saying, what a great privilege to stand there on a Sunday morning and to feel that awesome sense of being in his presence. But she said, let it not just be on a Sunday thing. Let's take that into Monday. Let's take that into Tuesday. Let's take that into Wednesday. Let it express itself in love, kindness, generosity, goodness, gentleness. That's love. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the continuing outworking of that same Spirit. The same Spirit is doing that work in us. Galatians 5, 13 and 14 says, by love, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. And verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. It says the entire law is summed up in that truth, that we love our neighbors as ourselves. So if we accept love as a fruit of the Spirit, the same Spirit by which we are made children of God, then love is available to every believer in Christ Jesus. Do we accept that? Love is available to every believer in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit that made us to lay hold of salvation is the same Spirit that produces love in us. And so every child of God, everyone who is born of God, has the Spirit of God in them and therefore have the capacity to love, because it is the Spirit who gives us the ability to love. And because we know we are children of God, we know that that Spirit is definitely in us. It is more than available. And scriptures also explains that it is an important characteristic and a commandment from Christ that will walk and grow in love. It's not just enough to know that the Spirit makes love available in our heart. It is a commandment from Christ that we walk and manifest and express that love. It is not optional. It is not an option. It is not an option. It is a commandment that we walk in love. I cannot choose whether I want to walk in love or not. And we cannot choose whether I'm going to walk in love or not. It is a commandment. And why do I say that? Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. And let's look at verse 7 to 11. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Keep going. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. The first thing I want you to point out is that verse 19. And it is a very important truth that I want us to label afresh this morning. We love because he first loved us. We have no capacity to love in ourselves. It is not in our nature. It can never be in our nature. The fallen nature cannot walk in that divine love I just shared with you in 1 Corinthians 13. It's not possible. And I'm not going to stand here and try and claim that I can do that, because I don't think anybody can. But the truth of God's word is, we love, why? Because he first loved us. And that scripture says, love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. When we receive Christ's love, when we appreciate Christ's love, all of the song we sang this morning is about his love. How great that love is. How beautiful that love is. How majestic that love is. How costly that love is. Hung upon a tree. How, you know, just find any adjective to try and describe or portray. When we get hold, when we catch that love, when we get hold of that love, when that love grabs us, when that love lays hold upon our heart, that is what then begins to propel us in response to his love to begin to love him back in return. And that's why our love and a response to him comes by the outworking of his Holy Spirit within us. And that's why before he demands love from us, he first gives us love by his Spirit. By Spirit in us, he makes love available to each and every one of us. And knowing that he has made love available to us, then he says, walk in love. He will not ask us something that he knows we do not have the ability or the capacity to be able to do. He walks in us both to will and to do of his pleasure. So he releases his love in us. He embraces us with love. He brings us into his loving bosom. And then he encourages and challenges us to go out and to love. And he says in that last verse, and he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love his brother. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. And that's what I mean by there is no choice about the matter. I don't have a choice in this matter. You cannot claim to love God without that love outworking itself in love for your brothers and your sisters. I cannot claim I love God without that love outworking itself in my love for my brothers and my sister. It's really important to remind ourselves again, that is a foundational truth. That is a fundamental truth. That is a truth that we can do nothing about. We all have to submit ourselves to the truth and to the authority of that word. I like the way he puts it in the message. The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. I'll read that again. The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. It's blunt. It's straight to the point. You've got to love both. I'll let that sink for a minute. Let's go to Romans chapter 13, verse 8, just to emphasize that point again, because I think it's really, really important. It says, let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. I love the way King James put it. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Owe no man nothing. Don't owe anybody anything but love one another. It says, the debt of love you can never have paid. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. You can't say to that brother, well, I've loved you enough, that's gone. I've settled my debt, I'm moving on. No. It's a debt you can never. Jesus says, when he comes to you and he says, how long shall I forgive my brother? Is it 7 times? Is it 14 times? It says 70 times 7. It's a continuing debt. It says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. It's so important. It says that is one debt you will be continuously bound by. The debt of love to one another. The debt of love to one another. Owe no man nothing, but you owe them to love them. I remember somebody once saying, you know, I may not like you, because like is different, but I must love you. We may not be the best buddies, but I owe you love. I owe you. That's what the scripture says. There is no real way around it. There is no if or buts and ands. It says it is blunt. Yes, it is blunt. It strikes us right in the face. It makes uncomfortable reading. But that's what it is. That's what it is. All no man nothing but to love one another. If we're clear in establishing that Christ first loved us, and his love is shed abroad in our hearts by his Spirit, and we receive that he commands us to love one another as evidence of our love for him. If we accept that, then that's a good place to begin. First John chapter 3, verse 23. Oh, sorry, that should be 23. So, okay. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. That is the definition of salvation. It puts the two together. It didn't separate it. It says, who is saved? Who can say Jesus is Lord? It says, the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who confesses, who acknowledges that Jesus is Lord and is the Son of God. And the same manner, in the same verse, it says, and to love one another as he commanded us. They go together. You cannot separate the two. They work hand in hand. Our expression, our manifestation of our love for God is very much manifested by our capacity to love one another. So the question this morning is, are you growing in your love for him and for others? Am I growing in my love for God and in my love for his people? We can't separate the two. So as the Spirit enables me to grow in my love for my Father, it's that same Spirit who is enabling me to love my brothers and my sister. If I'm not experiencing that, then I'm missing something there. But that's available. That's the capacity. That's what the scripture tells us. That same Spirit is able to enable both processes to happen because it doesn't separate it from one another. As it fills your love for the Father, as it gives you a passion and a desire and a hunger for the things of God and for the things that pleases God, that same Spirit desires to fill us with passion and love for one another. That's what he wants to do. That's what he would like to do. Whether that's a reality in each of our lives is a different matter. But let us not be in doubt that this is God's desire. This is the reason we have a Spirit that's come. This is the desire of the Spirit. This is why Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will give you my Spirit. My Spirit is to enable you walk in all the giftings and the fruits of all that you need to be able to show the world that truly you are my disciples. It says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. By what? By your love for one another. They're not going to know where his disciples by the charismatic gifts. It's important. It's important. Because we see in Acts of Apostles, it was important in the conversion. It was important in the outpouring. But it says, by this you will know, not just the manifestation of the gift, but by your love for one another. And we see in Acts of Apostles, when the outpouring of the Spirit came, the Bible says, nobody lacked. The same Spirit that produced 3,000 salvation, the same Spirit that produced healing and deliverance, the same Spirit that gave boldness and courage to preach the gospel, was the same Spirit that moved their hearts to compassion and care for one another. And the Bible says nobody lacked. There was no lack. It was the work of the same Spirit. It wasn't a different Spirit. It's the same outworking of the Holy Spirit. It was the same movement. We have no business in soul winning if we're not walking in the fruit of the Spirit. They go together. We cannot separate them. They go together. It is important. A good barometer of our increasing love for God surely then must be our increasing love for others. A good barometer of our increasing love for God surely then must be our increasing love for others. Can we increase in our capacity to love? Should we? Must we? Let's quickly go to Philippians and I'll stop on that. If we go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 12, and I think that will answer that, and we'll stop there. Like I said, I'll continue this in the next, because we're going into the second phase of what I was going to be talking about. Philippians 1, 9 to 12, it says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I'll read that in the message. So this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but well. You will not only love much, but you will love well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Live a lover's life. Live a lover's life. Circumspect and exemplary. Live a lover's life. Let it be circumspect, let it be exemplary. A life Jesus will be proud of. Bountiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all, getting everyone in the glory and praise of God. When I read that passage, it gives me a lot of encouragement. I don't know about you. Because Paul there is demonstrating that we can grow in our capacity to love. We can abound more and more. We can become more intelligent in the expression of our love. We can learn to love appropriately. Abound more and more. It does not matter where I am today. It does not matter where I am. I can increase in my capacity to love. Just because of time, I was going to read Philippians 3, just to emphasize again, when Paul was saying, I don't count myself to be there, but what do? I press on. I press on. I want to lay hold the purpose for which, what? He has laid hold on me. And 1 John tells us that love laid hold on us. And that's why we can release love. So Paul says, he grabbed my attention. He laid hold upon my life by his love. And by that same love, I want to begin to reach out, press on, increase, and manifest that with greater measure. So as I yearn and hunger for the things of God, as I long and yearn for a greater manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit of God, of the power of God, of the calling of God upon my life, I want to yearn and say, Lord, I want to increase in my capacity to you. I want to live a lover's life. I want to live a life that is circumspect and exemplary. I want to live a life that is attractive for you, Jesus. And I can increase in that. It doesn't matter where I am. I can increase in that. I can go. As I receive the infilling of your Holy Spirit, as your Holy Spirit continues to work in me, that can happen. And one of the greatest needs, I found the Lord really challenging, and I close on that note, is that when we think about our capacity to love, and I'll continue with that the next time, because I was going to look at what are those things that makes us feel we can't work in love. But one of the greatest needs, I felt the Lord putting his finger as I was looking at this, is the whole issue about our personality. And I want you to take that away and think about it yourself. And I felt the Lord saying to me, we have raised personality to an idol. It has become an idol in the household of God, where we think our personality excuses us from being able to walk in the fullness of the manifestation of the love of God. God created personality. God created that person. And that person is not stronger than the cross of Christ. A person, a personality, is not stronger than the love of Christ, than the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ can take those personalities, can take those persons and make them the man and the woman that he has designed us to be. That should not rob us of an increasing life of fruitfulness in the things of God. If we lay down, like he says, yeah, he's living. As long as he's on the altar, he will confirm. The problem is many times he's actually not on the altar. He's running the show. He's running around. And we're excusing it. But since it's time to realize, no, it's called to go on the altar. It has to go upon that altar. Your personality must die on that altar. It must submit to the cross and to the authority of Christ and the authority of God's word. And then you will see an outworking and a manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit. Let us pray. I'm just going to give you a few minutes to just think about what you've heard. Like I said, the second part, we're going to be focusing a bit more in terms of looking at trying to build on this, if we believe that there is a capacity to grow and to increase, are there specific things that may be helpful? And that's what the second part is going to be about. Just looking at some truths to try and help us with that. I want you to just pray for yourself this morning. I don't know how this word has come to you. I don't know what you've got from it. But I wrote a prayer down, which I wanted to pray for myself. And that prayer is, I don't want to be a hypocrite, Lord. My words must match my behavior and my lifestyle. My personality must not become an excuse that robs me of my fruitfulness in you. I want to leave that with you this morning. I'll just give a few minutes just to pray and then we'll close. Can I invite the band? Yes, Lord. Lord, we honor you this morning, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for what we've had. We know it's a challenging word, but we know you love us, and that's why you challenge us sometimes. But more than the challenge, Lord, we see your love. We see your care. We see your concerns for us. We see your desire to bring us into the fullness of all that you have done for us. We have been adopted into your kingdom. We're sons of God. We're sons of the God of love. It's in our DNA, Lord. It's in our nature to love, because your love is shed abroad in our heart by your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the working of your Holy Spirit in each of our lives, Lord. But Lord, we said this morning, we don't want to limit the work of your Spirit in our lives anymore. We abandon it, Lord. We lay it down. We want the fullness of the work of your Spirit in each of our lives and in each of our hearts, Lord.